Numbers, numbers, numbers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Lots of data to talk about this morning, but the numbers we're concerned with right now, where's Wall Street? S&P 500 up about 0.5%. Same for the NASDAQ, up about 10 points or 0.5%. The Dow right now at 86.34, up 0.25%, about 22 points. Over in Europe, shares are up under 1% at this hour. And Asian markets closed lower today. The Nikkei and Hang Seng shed around 2% or more. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. He joins us live from New York. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So we hear today the producer price index number, the PPI, is up only modestly. That's the index that measures the change in prices by producers. Maybe inflation's not so much of a concern?
Well, at least in the near term, it's probably not much of a concern. Certainly, unemployment tends to keep a lid on inflation. And when we see unemployment maintaining a level above 10% through 2010, we think that that could keep a lid, at least in the near term.
We also heard, Sam, from the Federal Reserve about the latest industrial production report, down 1.1% in May. Now, that's the seventh straight drop, more than analysts had expected. And this is output from the nation's factories and mines, and it keeps dropping. I mean, I thought the recession was slowing down.
Well, it's one of those indicators that certainly has been negative. It's the, as you said, output of factories, mines, and utilities, and certainly the mining component plunged because of the reduction in energy prices in the last period.
All right. Hold on just a second, Sam. We're going to bring in Marketplace's Steve Henn, who's joining us live as well from Washington. Steve, the Commerce Department there says housing construction rose more than 17% in May, more than expected. And since April's numbers were pretty anemic, I'm going to ask the proverbial, have we seen the bottom question? I mean, is this the beginning of some sort of housing rebound, Steve?
Well, a number of people I talked to said that they think they have seen the bottom, but it's important to sort of keep that in context. I mean, the numbers in April, housing construction in April was the worst ever recorded since World War II. So although May was better, it's still pretty bad, all things considered. And even though housing construction may have bottomed out, it doesn't necessarily mean that the worst is over for the housing market or housing prices. You know, in the last few weeks, interest rates have shot up and higher rates have pretty much killed the refinancing boom we had seen. And with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage near 6% now, we could see home sales start to take a hit too. So on top of rising interest rates, you have, you know, 12% of homeowners who are behind or on their mortgages or in foreclosure, and job losses are mounting. So there's a chance more homes will be dumped onto the market. All of that's going to combine to keep putting downward pressure on home prices. So the news isn't all good.
All right. Quick update from Steve Henn. Thanks, Steve.
Sure.
Back with Sam Stovall now. Quickly, Sam, about 30 seconds. Your thoughts on housing?
Well, I agree with Steve because the S&P Case-Shiller Index is down 32% from the peak in 2006, and we still believe that it could continue to decline over the next year by as much as 40% from peak to trough.
All right, Sam Stovall over at S&P Equity Research in New York. Sam, thanks.
Happy to do it.
I appreciate it. General Motors said today it signed a deal to sell its Saab unit to Swedish luxury brand Koenigsegg. So the four biggest emerging economies on the planet, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, are all getting together today for a summit for the first time. Leaders of the four are meeting in the Russian city of Yekaterinburg, and they're trying to mount an economic flip side to the power of the United States. You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, June 16th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. Of course, we've got the numbers today. Tomorrow, we'll hear about the Consumer Price Index as well. And economists will be watching closely for signs of inflation. Some say inflation is more of a long-range problem, but others are more concerned, as Joel Rose reports.
Economists agree we're still in a recession, but with the federal government borrowing and spending billions of dollars, some say it's not too early to worry about inflation.
I am concerned about the rise in oil prices, the rise in commodity prices in general.
Jeremy Siegel teaches finance at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School.
I think actually in the second half of this year that the Fed may have to start raising interest rates to move against inflation.
But there, Siegel seems to be in the minority. Nick Perna is chief economist at Perna Associates. He says bankers at the Federal Reserve should wait to raise rates until the economy begins adding jobs, probably sometime next year.
The recession is very much with us. All we've got going on right now are indications that it might end by the end of this year. So against that backdrop, it just seems to me to be quite unlikely that we'd have any significant increase in inflation.
Perna says if policymakers move too aggressively to stop inflation, they could also put the brakes on the recovery. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Denver is hosting an ethanol powwow this week, and given the state of the industry, the mood isn't likely to be bubbly. The ethanol business has been plagued by bankruptcies and idle plants the past year and a half. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sarah Gardner.
Nearly every ethanol producer in the U.S. and Canada is at this week's conference, and they have plenty to commiserate about. Volatile corn and energy prices, the credit crunch, and the recession have all hurt the industry. Dan Bossi, president of Ag Resource, expects the shakeout will continue.
More consolidation, fewer players, people who better understand the industry and are able to make risk decisions at a much higher profile.
Those high-profile players include the big oil refiner Valero, which is buying up 7 ethanol plants from a bankrupt producer. Other big oil companies, including Shell and BP, are investing in ethanol made from plant waste. Matt Hartwig is with the Renewable Fuels Association.
I think the oil companies recognize that ethanol isn't going away.
Still, corn ethanol especially faces increasing scrutiny from environmentalists who argue its production is too energy intensive and ultimately damages the planet. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The world's 4 biggest emerging economies, the so-called BRIC group, are holding their first summit today. The leaders of Brazil, Russia, India, and China are meeting in the Russian city of Yekaterinburg. As Stephen Beard reports from our European desk, they want a bigger say in global economic affairs.
The BRIC countries account for 15% of the global economy, a share that has doubled over the past decade. Goldman Sachs predicts that within 20 years, the BRIC group will be bigger than the G7. Chris Giles, economics editor of the Financial Times, says the 4 countries are united by one common ambition: to play a bigger part in global bodies like the World Bank and the IMF, which are currently dominated by the US.
They are big, they are large, and they're fast-growing. And they want to have a bigger role and a bigger say over global events. The main purpose of the summit is really to challenge American dominance over the global economy.
China and Russia have both expressed interest in developing a global reserve currency to replace the US dollar. The Russian president says that issue will be on today's agenda. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A lot of corporations, even states, are sending employees on their way, at least for a few days or weeks, so they don't have to be paid. It's called a furlough, and in these days of companies finding ways to get by, it's becoming a workplace reality. You know what else is turning into a reality? People trying to cater to those people being furloughed. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
27-year-old Yuri Victor lives in Virginia. He's a product designer for the newspaper publisher Gannett, and so far he's been forced to take 2 weeks of unpaid leave. He says he's made the best of it, first with a long weekend in Denver, and then for the second round.
I went swimming in the pool, had some beers with some friends, just tried to relax for a little bit.
A recent survey of 500 companies found that nearly half of them had either imposed unpaid leave or were considering it. And some businesses have tried to make it a marketing opportunity. Jill Stockton with Reno, Nevada's Visitors Bureau created a furlough special for California state workers.
They would get one night for free, $25 in free casino play, 25% off of spa treatments, discounts on dining, and also 2-for-1 show tickets.
Brew pubs, art museums, and even an Ohio-based water park resort are also offering furlough discounts. But their success has been limited. University of Illinois labor expert Bob Bruno isn't surprised.
To speak of furloughs is really to speak of failure.
Bruno says many companies are using furloughs as a way to make fewer employees do more work for less money. And then there's the lingering fear that pink slips are just around the corner.
And if that's the way in which it's interpreted, then that day that you're not paid but not laid off or not fired becomes a day that you really resent.
Gannett's Yuri Victor realized this when he tried to create events for his fellow furloughees.
and I came up with furlough bar crawl, and that was deemed to be somewhat unproductive. We would go to a bar all day instead of going to work.
And then a few of his colleagues suggested another idea. It's an online house swap so that furloughed workers across the country can trade homes to vacation on the cheap. He says within the first month, more than 500 people signed on. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Finally, six New York City mothers are suing the maker of a baby gender test. The women claim they received incorrect results from the $275 baby gender mentor test by Accugen Biolab. The company's website says the test can determine a baby's gender as early as 5 to 8 weeks gestation. No comment from the company on the lawsuit. You know what a lot of designers say. Paint the room a nice neutral color. Hey, share your thoughts with us, or paint swatches, whatever, at our website, marketplace.org. And check out the Scratch Pad with online host and blogger Scott Jagow. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.